And you are listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Support for this program comes from Greater Madison Music City. Through proven strategies, success stories, and challenges, the Music City Circuit presented by Greater Madison Music City will highlight music tourism's role as a driver of urban transformation, offering valuable insights on how to shape our future as a music city while empowering our local musicians and music-related businesses. The Music City Circuit, coming soon to select streaming platforms. More information at ourgmmc.org.
Welcome to the Access Hour, where each week WORT offers you the opportunity to fly your program over the radio. The Access Hour is WORT's commitment to community access to the airwaves. For this hour, we have turned the airwaves over to a member of the public. The views expressed on the Access Hour do not necessarily represent the views of the station, its staff, its programmers, or the board of directors. But let's now begin our next foray into the freest form program on the WORT schedule. The Access Hour.
Well, good evening. My name is James P. Roberts, and I will be your host for this evening's Access Hour, where we will explore the history of the Winter Festival of Poetry, and which is continuing in progress at the Arts and Literature Laboratory. So come with me as we go through the Wayback Machine, if you remember Underdog, and we will delve into the history of the Winter Festival of Poetry. But first, a little bit about myself. I was born in Waterloo, Iowa, and grew up there and went to college at the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls, where I graduated with a BA in English. Shortly after graduation, I moved here to Madison, Wisconsin, and after a few years, I became involved with the Madison literary community, which was really thriving at that time. One place in particular was called The Writer's Place, hosted by Dale Kushner. And then it was through The Writer's Place, I believe, that I became aware of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, an organization that has been around since 1950, which means 2025 is the 75th year of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets. So, let us begin with the Winter Festival of Poetry, which actually began in 1986 as the Festival of the Lakes. And I have in my hand at the moment a program called A Festival of Poets, published in 1986, containing poems by those members who participated in the Festival of the Lakes. And several of them are still with us. Robin Chapman, Dale Kushner, Sarah Rath, Lynn Patrick Smith, Ron Wallace. So, after that, it began as a summer festival, and then it moved into the winter in 1987, a woman named Victoria Ford begins it at Victor Allen's Coffee House. And then in 1990, Jim Stevens begins hosting at Victor Allen's and prints out poetry broadsides, and it was during this time that I became aware of the Winter Festival of Poetry and started attending and meeting some of Madison's other poets. Jim Stevens was the editor of a landmark three-volume set of Wisconsin literature called The Journey Home. He was also a fine poet. And so I'm going to start by reciting one of Jim Stevens' poems, The Place of Meeting. for Priscilla Manders, Vernon Moon, Janet Malcolm, the Oneida Nation Museum. For the first time carrying this dream, I walked the path up from Duck Creek. Day for the giving of leaves, across a winding forest into the village where pine trees hold sway. I am coming through the entrance. Wingeds drum and make high circle, and people sing who remain in their knowledge of the sky. My eyes are going beyond three birches, spreading from their feet like sisters, across a path made around by the great little people. I am entering the longhouse where the smoke is held in honor of all these lives. The fires and voices through a long room of cornhusk dreaming. So great a peace as it is in the village where I become welcomed. Here it is below the hill, lanterns of sumac to turn into the sun. So Life-Giver told this, the way elm bark would hold these breaths together, all creatures within a universe where a hand of vines is weaving their thunder leaves. It is an hour now of thought forms coming through me. So a blue dragonfly flits across my vision. How was it once spoken on the island of the turtle? People live again with people, for the truth is always in this tongue, in a place where blood forever awakens, and my heart is deep with the song. The Winter Festival of Poetry at Victor Allen's continued for several years. And one day I especially remember it was freezing cold. And we always had to contend with the espresso machines. And one of the poets that was very memorable was R. Virgil Ellis, also known as Ron Ellis. Many people may remember him as the poetry editor of Rosebud Magazine. Well, one day, Ron, he enjoyed making the people as part of his poems. His book, The Tenting Cantos, was published shortly before his passing. And this is his poem, Canto 75, Sitting Still, Mind Racing. Sitting still, mind racing, let it do laps for a while. Start from its finish line, a battery of monkeys typing, a battery of humans swinging in trees. Start the mantra Bodhisattva, the lollipop of an ordinary flavor. Breath slows, getting deeper. Ordinariness leaves its own flavor. Tongue lifts to roof of mouth. Lips part just a little. Bologna sandwiches in the balcony. Coney Island of the mind. Mind still, fingers stir. Cupped hands lift and spread. Moving slowly, receive the air, the ordinary air. Sandwiches, what sand did you have in mind? I'll give you more wordplay in a similar vein. Coney catching Ferlinghetti'sburg address. Lungs fill, back arches, arms spread and stretch, holding more and more. Body light as if to rise, to open, to embrace, to yield, to take, to give, to forgive, to be one, to be all, to be none. In the stillness, eyes open, the old is suddenly new, ordinary, battery of monkeys typing, battery of humans swinging in trees, the old is suddenly new. Making coffee, thinking softly, making coffee, thinking softly, 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 softly. As you can see, Ron was a very unique poet. Well, Jim Stevens, he moved up to the Oneida Reservation in the late 1990s, and then Lynn Patrick Smith starts hosting the Winter Festival of Poetry. And it is at this point that it moved to Aval's bookstore. One of the poets that I came to know very well while he was at Aval's in 2007 and 2008, I began printing a little chapbook of poems by the poets participating in the Winter Festival of Poetry. And one poet that I especially admired, and when I think of him today, the word dignified comes to mind. He was Daniel Kunyene, who was Emeritus Professor of African Languages and Literature at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This is his poem, The Butterfly. Do not presume to tell me, O impetuous man, where I may or may not fly. I am an untamed spirit, veering with the winds of my choosing. Your own civilization has become a narcissistic monster whose burial ceremonies will remain unsung for lack of mourners. But I am everlasting, for that spirit that is in me cannot be trammeled in the sands of time and space, but will unceasingly mingle with the eternal breezes, even as you look at my broken wing or my body, mutilated by your tar-squelching monsters of steel, and, in your ignorance, pronounce me dead. And therefore, as I flutter or dissect the air in geometric designs, and light upon these soft petals, or the trunk of a mighty oak, my seeming frailty is my strength. For I, being all spirit, am the very essence of freedom, and my triumph over your chains is the triumph of freedom itself. A very prescient poem for these times. The Winter Festival of Poetry continued year by year. In 2004, Lynn Patrick Smith gave the reins over to Richard Rowe. And Richard Rowe was a very special person, especially to me. And we were still at Aval's, and one of the other regular poets that came year after year after year, and she was always very memorable in what she would give to the poetry community. Her name was Fran Rawl, and she recently passed away in December at the age of 99. Fran, for many years, hosted the Obrich Gardens Poetry Marathon in late spring, which was a one-day series of poetry readings with 15 poets reading for 3 hours. In tribute to Fran, I would like to read 4 of her very short poems. Cows that listen to music give more milk, says the ad for business music. Sure, Jerseys like jazz. Swiss like yodels. Holsteins like country. Charlies like opera. Guernseys like symphonies. Black Angus like hip-hop. Brahmas like reggae. Ayrshires like Irish. Frisians like philharmonics. They all like bluegrass. Okay, this next poem is called Surprise. No one ever mentions that on Resurrection Day, all the landfills will open and we will be reunited with all our trash. I'm sorry, I should have marked the pages. This is from Fran's book, The Unspoken Word. Okay, this poem is called Remnants. The grizzled piles squat stubbornly along the streets like granite erratics left here by the glaciers. Said a friend, well, you know, these March winds will soon melt all that old snow. And I thought, maybe, but it's going to take a lot to shift those babies. Okay. Take a break, a moment for a drink. Another Madison poet that is still regular reader at the Winter Festival of Poetry and someone whom I've come to know very well and admire very much. She was Madison's Poet Laureate in 2008. Her name is Fabu, and Fabu provided this poem for tonight's show. Lightning Girl. Struck with power, standing wet under a solitary tree in a wide green pasture, even electric bolts didn't scare her, slow her down none. Just bothered her some. Flashing out of her mouth for the rest of her life were words that shocked and stunned. Dedicated to my mother, Bernice Partee Carter, born on January 27th, and to all black women who modeled strength and perseverance, because they thrived, I believed I could and others could. Including Kamala Harris. Well, now we come to me. In 2010, I began hosting the Winter Festival of Poetry. And when I started, what I liked to do was give each year a different overall theme. To make it more interesting for the public and to make it more fun and challenging for the poets. So each year, my first year was in 2010, which means I've been hosting this for 14 years now, minus 1 year because of COVID. And I've done themes on international poets, where each week I read from a different poet. Yeah. And then in 2011, we had a Milwaukee-Madison Smackdown. Three poets from Milwaukee and three poets from Madison read to get a share of a special cake that I had designed. In 2012, I had an ugly tie contest where I wore a selection of ugly ties and the audience voted on the worst one. Then in 2013, the theme was What's Cooking? And this was when I became aware of the UW-Madison First Wave Poets Scholarship Program, where spoken word poetry, it attracted poets from all around the country. And so I contacted the First Wave, and they provided me with several wonderful poets. T. Banks, Michael Penn III, known as Crash Prez, Natalie Cook, and especially Denez Smith. Denez, some of you may know as a wonderful, he was in the first cohort of the First Wave Spoken Word program. And he has gone on to become a nationally known poet. And his collection, Don't Call Us Dead, was actually a finalist for the National Book Award. So I am going to read one of Denez's poems that is in this wonderful anthology called Someone Might Hear You, an anthology of First Wave poets, edited by Josh Healy and Eric Mata. And it was published in 2008. This is Denez Smith, Moving On Nowhere. George and Wheezy Jefferson always got on my last nerve. Why did they get to move up? My family was more like the Evans clan, stuck at the bottom but still having good times, looking up to American pies, waiting quietly for the crumbs to fall. Wealth was not something we could eat up because we were on a four-day low-pay rotating menu, chicken, pork chops, hamburgers, spaghetti, then chicken again. Maybe some greens, always cornbread and Kool-Aid, which was the closest we were going to get to juice. Sometimes we had an off-brand version of Shasta soda. I learned to know the cocky grin of the Kool-Aid guy, as well as I knew the back of the 21A, which you had to ride to get to that other bus that used to run down Dale Street that took you to Aldi's, because that's where poor people have to buy groceries, which was scarce, unless Mama got a bonus that month and we could get an extra can of SpaghettiOs, which is like a delicacy when you're five, like Lunchables or PB&Js made with Jif and Smuckers. My mom's broken-down 1996 Honda Civic was always a reminder of her missed paychecks or Daddy's empty seat at the dinner table, vacant ever since I was born, leaving poverty in his place, which ain't nice to look at from across the dinner table. Poverty ain't pretty. He's an ugly S.O.B. Wish he would die, wanna smack, talk behind his back, but still smile and wave to when you see him in the church basement at the chicken social. I hate his son, too. Poverty birthed Hood. And now he follows me around the playground, making me look dirty. Everyone would call me poor black trash, but not when you go to school in the ghetto and everybody's bologna sandwich is made with the same not-so-wonder bread and government cheese. The ghetto is not to be celebrated. Yes, always hold on to memories made there, but please don't act like the projects are paradise. It's a place you teach your kids how to get out of. It's a freaking project, some senators and realtors' science project. But some test subjects get treated better than others. George and Wheezy Jefferson got on my last nerve. Never understood why they got to move up out of the lab. My family was more like the Evans clan, stuck in the experiment but still having good times, waiting for the days when poverty doesn't show up to dinner. I really enjoyed Dinez. Hope Dinez comes back to Madison real soon. Some of the other themes I've had are coming attractions, where I had a different classic movie each week with slightly altered titles. A flowering of poetry. I read poems on my birthday. And in 2016, it was Poetry and the Stars. And we had a very special event that happened. One of the poets was a fellow named Carney Lentz, who was from Toma. So it's quite a drive to get down to Madison. Carney Lentz used his last poem to propose to his girlfriend. She said yes, and they are still together. Last year, I invited Carney back for a 10th anniversary, but he's a family man now, and he has other obligations. In 2017, the theme was I Sing to the Trees. And this time, we had moved from Avals to the Fountain Restaurant. And the Fountain was an interesting place because it actually had three entrances, the main one being on State Street, which led into the bar. Then there was an entrance on Dayton Street where you turned left and you went into the restaurant portion. And then there was a handicapped entrance in that little alley next to the Concourse Hotel. It was a wonderful, wonderful place. And there was many memorable moments. And one of those was we had our first ever live poetry via Facebook, where a poet named Kimbria read her poems from her home in County Donegal, Ireland. It was at this time also that I began doing my own poetry radio show called A Space for Poetry, which I interviewed poets, and then they would produce my interview and broadcast it on WMUU-FM. And that was a lot of fun. In 2018, though, the Fountain suddenly closed, and I was scrambling to find another place at such short notice. And so the Art In Space on East Washington Avenue became our home for 1 year. And that was an interesting place because it had a decent performance space in the back. In the front, there was a microbrewery and an arcade room. And they would have things like hip-hop concerts and burlesque shows the night before, Saturday night. And I would come in, and the janitors had not yet arrived, so I would have to help clean up the place and get things ready for the Winter Festival of Poetry. This year, though, the Winter Festival of Poetry was broadcast on WWMV-FM. Well, one of the mainstays, whom I mentioned right at the top, and who is still around, and is a very good friend of mine, is Lynn Patrick Smith. Some of you may remember Lynn Patrick, along with Fran Rahl, as regulars on the Mind's Eye radio program. Well, these are two poems from Lynn's collection, These Little Scenes. Every morning, the man I see jogging every morning on my way to work does not look like his purpose is pleasure or exercise. He looks like a messenger worried about the reaction his message will receive. Every morning it appears he has come a great distance. Every morning it seems that the news is bad. And the second poem. This is the poem you've been waiting to hear. Unless you were thinking it would rhyme and say nice things about my mother, my wife, or my childhood, which I did capture, beautifully metered, in my pleasant suburban childhood poem that I left at home because the last time I took it out in public, it ran off and got drunk with that gang of miserable urban childhood poems and said things about me I cannot repeat in the poem you were hoping I would read. So instead, I offer you this. Just imagine me reciting whatever poem it is you've been waiting to hear.
Many people tell us that WORT is a major part of what makes Madison, well, Madison. And they could not bear to think of what South Central Wisconsin would be like without our unique blend of news and music programming, from a musical offering to worldview. You can help us be a fixture in our community for decades to come by naming WORT in your will or trust. For more information, please call Susan Sheldon at 608-256-2001 during business hours Monday through Friday.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Access Hour. I am your host, James P. Roberts, and tonight we are delving into the history of the Winter Festival of Poetry, which is in its 39th year, sponsored by the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets. And I have been going through the history for the past, up until 2018 now. One of the poets I mentioned earlier, Kimbria, I first met her when she was in Madison, and she was a musician at that time, and she stopped at the Dobra Tea House on State Street, and she performed on the harp. She is also a wonderful poet. And so I would like to now to read you one of her poems, The Poet's Sea. The poet in me is drying up inside. A dead sea is thriving with all the tears I've cried, and I've filled those waters with so many hungry newborn poems as they gasped their first life's breath, only to drink in seawater and sink to bottomless pits where only soul can flourish, only to float upon tides that hold memory of mermaid song. Poets will sink into the tears and secrets that everyone hides, drowning over and over again until all that remains is a floating soul. A solace laps on every side of me as the chaos is finally quieted into the lull of a neutral refuge, and body is only a rock to hold on to, a solid anchor in the chaos of all that can be written, all that will never be born, and every stillborn poem that will never feel a mother's love. Yes, the poet in me is neutral, as I am dense with too much memory. Yet My broken heart keeps feeding me, and I nurse from all that I feel. I am reborn over and over again, a poet quietly suckling from an abundance of my own alkalizing love. Another poet whom I came to know and respect greatly was Lenore McComas Coberly. She was from West Virginia, and we had something in common because one of our favorite writers was also from West Virginia, a man named Davis Scrubb. And I really enjoyed listening to Lenore's reading poetry because she still had that West Virginia accent. This is her poem, Appalachian Sunday. She thought there would never be a day so bright as this as she followed the grandfathers across the school ground and up the hill. She could smell lilacs around front porches where people sat and waved. Grandpa McComas walked briskly after sleeping with his chin trembling through Preacher Priestley's sermon, and the Lord blessed him. "Howdy, Pearl," he called as he climbed the steps to the white porch swing. Grandpa Hager had watched every move the preacher made and listened to every word, and it was his opinion that the man had misread the Bible. Sitting in the rocker and fanning with a Kuntz funeral home fan, he talked at length about this alarming truth. The day's entertainment had begun for the child perched on the steps, all ears inside Sunday deportment. "Seek ye first the kingdom. Be still and know. God gave you your mind. You have to let God speak." The drone of bees on clover matched the talk of the old men, and the child felt thirsty in the growing heat. Behind the house, the stone floor of the well stoop felt cool. She heard the women in the kitchen laughing as they cooked. Uncle Harry drew cold water in a galvanized pail, and she drank from the tin cup. Aunt Pearl came to the back door, flour on her apron from cutting biscuits. "Little Norrie, you listen to me and remember, they are both good men." The child skipped back to her listening place. Lenore was a wonderful, wonderful woman. Well, we now come to 2019. And after 1 year at the Art In Space, the Winter Festival of Poetry moved to Common Ground, a restaurant in Middleton. And that was a wonderful place. It was two stories. They had performance space on the second floor, and then the restaurant and another performance space on the first floor. Unfortunately, this was the time when COVID hit, and Common Ground Cafe was one of the victims of COVID. It was sold, then later demolished, and apartment buildings have been built on that spot. I mentioned Richard Rowe earlier. Richard, to me, was a mentor. He had a voice that once heard could not be forgotten. And when he passed away in 2019, I was very much honored to be one of those who were invited to read a poem at his life celebration that October. This is the poem that I read. Dance Lessons. There were no dancers in my family, so Mom sent me to Mrs. Wilson's dancing school to learn what my Bible-thumping grandfather preached against as sin. They tried to teach me the box step, the foxtrot, the cha-cha, and Lindy Hop, but what I remember best are nights spent trying to do the tango. Slow step, cross quick, quick, turn and again, and turn quick and dip, the basic steps of the dance of love, the body rub of desire, that kiss of fire, part of my 12-step program to become suave. I was 14, four-eyed and blonde, sporting a flat top, peach fuzz face, flowered with Old Spice aftershave, skinny as a church ritual palm frond, picturing someone sassy, red rose and dark hair, coals of fire eyes, a long-stemmed girl with lubricated hips, and I got Betsy, who was big, blonde, and blue-eyed. She stared transfixed into my eyes, smoothing strands of honey-dipped hair, flicking her eyelashes, fixing her lips. Glasses, she said, make good mirrors. The music pulsed, and we glided away to the bump, bump, rump, bump of the tango, my feet bouncing like a ground ball on a bumpy infield. And how Betsy moaned and gasped under the spell of my size 9 loafers, asked how much I weighed, said I was quite the partner. So here's to you, you sideliners, who hide when the band strikes up, you foot shufflers, arrhythmics, you whose dance posture reminds others of grackles waddling on summer lawns. But dream on, you dirty old men, like I dream the band plays the tango and she's there, dark hair, red rose. We join thigh to thigh, hip to hip like vine tendrils or saran wrap. The dance that began in Argentine brothels is recreated in ads for pants, computers, or Overnight Express, or in movies as steps in idle and misspent lives that might end in tragic or violent deaths. I'm telling you this like it's a confession that Grandfather was right. It is about sin and something wild never captured. The elusive bird of passion, the dancer, the dance, and even my boyhood grin. Richard loved writing poems about tango. He was also a wonderful... He wrote a lot of poems about jazz. He loved jazz. And so this is Richard's poem, Jazz Night, Union Terrace, Madison. Hips swinging to two beats and three, two dancers fast step forward and back, break out, slide, and tap to the salsa band's beat. The conga players' hands talk to each other. A trumpet blows on a sax twisting line. They circle like two people in want, looping into a chorus like the dancers who pass palms, turn under each other's arms, wrap around twice, embracing belly to back under a June night sky when clouds stretch and split, spilling orange stripes like paint along the edge of a world as immediate as salsa, jazz, and two young dancers, their laughter, the breezes that sway boats and rattle anchor chains. They stumble as they must. The lights are turned out, leaving only the moon and an old poet slipping anchor. And now we come to the present. After COVID, and I should mention that In 2020, the theme was A Rainbow of Poetry, and once again, my birthday, March 22nd, fell on a Sunday. Unfortunately, COVID hit in early March, and we had to cancel the last 2 weeks of the Winter Festival of Poetry in 2020. Thus, I did not get to read on my birthday that year. In fact, I remember spending my birthday walking along a deserted UW-Madison campus and watching those little automated food delivery carts trundling lonesomely across the campus grounds, delivering food to people who were shut in. And that's a poem by itself, I would think. Well, with the common ground gone, we were very fortunate to be able to move into the brand new Arts and Literature Laboratory, where we are currently hosting the Winter Festival of Poetry. Rita Mae Reese has been a stalwart in supporting and allowing us to use this wonderful space. The themes have been the first year, 2022, was We're Not Just Horsing Around. And we featured a horse of a different color every week. But it also had a little sub-message saying that we are not horsing around with the Winter Festival of Poetry. We are back. And then came the Big Cheese. In 2024, the theme was Under the Big Top, exploring the history of the circus. And this year, it's A Passport to Poetry, where we are highlighting different popular travel destinations. One of the fun parts about organizing and hosting the Winter Festival of Poetry is seeking out new poets, along with our regular poets. And it's just been great to, especially younger poets. And for the past 3 years, the Winter Festival of Poetry has been honored to host the Madison Youth Poet Laureate. It was Madeline Bone, two years ago. Last year, it was Maliha Numan. And this year is Justin Feske Russell, along with the current Madison Poet Laureate. So each week, six poets read, and it's a wide variety of poems, poetry that you hear. Okay, we are getting a little close to our time. I hope you have been enjoying this. And I'm going to close out after a little drink. With a few of my own poems. One of the poets I met had a very unique story. I met him when we were at the Fountain restaurant, and later when the poet Fabu hosted a series of poetry readings at the Cafe Coda. His name, his poetic name was Poetic Ye, Y-E, and he had just gotten out of prison. And while he was in prison, he formed a poetry group with two other poets, and they self-published an anthology called Throwing Rocks at the Pen. I'm happy to say he's changed his life around and inspired this poem. The smile in his eyes. In prison, he said, you cannot let them see the smile in your eyes. It brands you weak, soft, vulnerable to eager fingers coated with rusty knuckles. No matter what has happened to you, you have always held a private smile, a pinprick of hope. Weary days of clanging doors, your black skin wan under fluorescent room light, taking off the days until your parole date. Still, the eyes stay clouded. Face a mask so heavy it can pull you to the floor in chill spasms. Here, at the poetry reading, 10 months free, a steady job, a book of poems self-published, you sit, quiet, unwilling to talk, but then an unspoken signal snaps the chains. You breathe, and you let us see, finally, the smile in your eyes. It is something what poetry can do. This next poem is Creation of Fire. When Molly arose from her place on the other side of the campfire and walked to sit on the ground beside me, then leaned her sturdy body into mine, it wasn't the first time I'd held a woman's body in my arms, but it was the most uncomplicated. The fire crackled merrily. Yes, merrily, its smoke and embers rising toward the hanging tree branches and out into the night. The others drank their beer, dozing quietly. We were done with pizza for now, at least until tomorrow. Dust in the wind on a 12-string guitar, sudden splash of a nocturnal fish in the river surrounding our island hideaway. Soft laughter when someone tries to get too handsy. It was not that way with Molly. I didn't want to spoil her trust, the feel of her brown hair on my face. Wavy light approaching, bouncing off and returning. Inquisitive voices, authoritative. Shiny police badge. We were past curfew in a public park, but luckily not underage. Molly moved out of my arms, straightened her hair, glowed. Water on fire. Hiss of smoke. A drenched memory. This poem is called The Star Thrower. Tonight she is wearing a sleeveless black and white dress in a pattern which reminds one of thick Celtic crosses. When she sings, her voice becomes a lantern bringing home all the angels lost in darkness. It is a clear, moonlit night. By morning, there may be a first frost. But as grace begins, melody takes flight. She throws blazing stars in our eyes until we are blind to all else but song. Echoes in this old building rise, echoing community. We feel we belong to something older than ourselves. It is out there. Beyond the blackness, the tapestry grace weaves is a catapult taking up slack, inch by inch, Each note resounds within the confines of Old Park Hall. I close my eyes and sit spellbound. Music is at the center of it all. And then the song slowly, beautifully dies. Space births more stars, young, old, always. Okay, one final poem. And since we have been traveling on the Wayback Machine, let me take you back to another time, a simpler time. Shodo, shobido, shodo, shobido, doo-wop. Here you are, standing on a corner of the street. It is 1956. It is night. It is Harlem, and you are alive with music. There are five of you singing this simple song of love unspoken. It is night. It is New York City. The Giants and the Dodgers are still playing. There is danger, but not here. The melody moves danger aside. In the song, you are the heroes, proving yourselves worthy of the time. It is a time when everything was black and white, and the street became your voice, your lover's lane, your home, your window to the world outside. It hustled, it bustled, jukeboxes and jazz joints, and all was music. And all was five-part harmony. The tenors soared with wings of falsetto. The bass kept the beat, and no song was complete without fingers snapping. It was simple. It was textured. It was all you knew, and you sang it over and over again, echoing the coming dawn. Bom ba ba bom ba bom ba bom bom ba ba bom ba bom ba dang 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 ding dong ding. Blue moon. Thank you very much. I hope you have enjoyed tonight's program. I would like to thank Adrian Ranney, our engineer and producer for tonight's Access Hour. And it's the Winter Festival of Poetry at the Arts and Literature Laboratory. Take care, stay safe, and have a good evening.
You've been listening to the Access Hour. The Access Hour is WORT's commitment to community access to the airwaves. For this hour, we have turned the airwaves over to a member of the public. The views expressed on the Access Hour do not represent the views of the station, its staff, programmers, or the board of directors. Remember, though, that this show relies on your ideas. An application to produce a program can be found on the internet at wortfm.org. Look on the left side for Sign Up to Host an Access Hour. Music, talk, comedy, drama, or whatever can be conveyed over the radio, the Access Hour is anything you want it to be.
In a time crunch, no time to read the paper, it's easy to stay informed on the latest breaking news in Madison and beyond. Just subscribe to WORT Local News Podcast. Our volunteer reporters are on standby to investigate the latest news in our community. That includes protests.
Hey, you'll need it! Cause your cause will be defeated!
Our bodies, our lives, our right to decide!
For the parks, for the birds! For the trees, for the parks, for the birds!
Local politics.
I believe that this subpoena is a mockery.
Well, my initial reaction is always, like, what truth are they talking about?
Arts and culture.
There just aren't very many Oak Savannahs left, but they're a very unique, beautiful landscape to walk through.
Because you can tell quite a bit about a watch by winding it and setting it.
And everything in between. New episodes are available every Monday through Thursday at 7:30 p.m., Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. Just search for the WORT Local News. Bringing you local news and information since 1975, this is WORT Madison.
Good evening. This is WRT FM 89.9, Madison, Wisconsin. Good evening. This is Matt Finale subbing in for Ryan Parks, at least for part one tonight. Ryan Bannon will be checking in later on. He'll be taking over. But this is something wonderful. It's wonderful to have you with us. For those who are listening, we got a lot of great music tonight. A really fun new disco. I would say, I don't know if fun is really the word for it, but it's a great new disc at nine. So I'm very excited to share that with you. So without further ado, we are going to start off with a new remix for the band, Canadian band Actors, who has played Madison twice at Crucible. They have a remix that just came out from legendary UK producer Dave Clark, which I think is insane. So if you're familiar with the old like 90s rave, everything, Dave Clark, and he's the man. So we are going to start off with that tonight, and stick around. This is something wonderful.